friends. Isn't it fascinating how relationships bring us immense joy, but also profound heartache? They're a dance of emotions, yet how often do we truly, deeply, consciously invest in the relationship we have with ourselves and loved ones? That investment, that time, and that energy is the most powerful gift you could ever bestow upon yourself and those you love. As life didn't give us a manual on handling emotions and communication challenges, we also weren't taught the art of building romantic ties or how to deeply love and value ourselves. But I'm here to share more life-affirming, relationship-enhancing wisdom with you all. And now you can also find this transformational content pouring onto Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Dive into the show notes to connect with all the magic. Here's to growth, love, and endless learning.
Welcome, this is Nicola Beer, and I'm going to be talking about how to get over the end of a relationship, the steps, the stages, and address one of the most common questions that people ask me is, how long will it take for me to feel better? How long will it take for me to get over this? Or how come I can't accept this? And a lot of people go through such a difficult time, and there's not a lot of information out there. And even though my podcast is mainly focused on helping people have thriving relationships and saving their relationships, of course, sometimes a partner has made their decision, or you maybe have made your decision, that this relationship that you're in isn't serving you, or you feel that you need to save your soul rather than save the relationship, and you've made that decision to end the relationship. And then, okay, how do you deal with that? How do you get over that? How do you manage the huge emotional stress, turmoil, real roller coaster of emotions that it brings? So if you're finding it difficult to move on from a relationship, of course, you're not alone. However, that's because the information that we get from outside that time will heal is false. A lot of people will say, give it time, you'll feel better. In fact, I had someone that came into my practice and he said, Nicola, I just wish I could fast forward 2 years. I said, why? Why do you want to fast forward 2 years? And he said, well, it took me 2 years to get over my last divorce, so it's probably going to take me 2 years to get over this divorce. And the thing is that time does nothing. All time does is pass. It's only the actions within the time that you take to help you process and release the emotional baggage and the emotional attachment you have with that person to be released. You can't just sleep off the end of a relationship like you can a bad hangover. And you may have heard these other crazy rules out there, like for every year you're together, it takes a month of healing, or it takes a year to recover, or some say it takes a decade. I recently had another lady that came to me and she was saying, I just still can't get over how much hurt and destruction my partner's done, but yeah, I still love him and I still want to be with him. And so these three steps I'm going to share with you today is to help you grieve the loss of your relationship, help you to move forward, help you to understand the steps and the stages to healing after a breakup. We all probably know people who are still bitter or depressed about their divorce that happened years or even decades ago. My mother still hasn't let go of her resentment and grudge and hostility towards my father. And their relationship ended over 30 years ago. You can't help people that don't want to be helped. But you're different. You're here listening to this for a reason. You're ready for a new horizon, a new chapter, a new life. And this can't begin properly unless you process your emotions. You have to go through it to come out of it. You can't just keep busy avoiding, stuffing your emotions down with whatever your choice of poison is, whether it's food or shopping or drugs or alcohol or sleeping. You need to feel, process, and express. And I'm going to be talking about that and what to do in these three steps. You see, there is a structure of steps that can happen to help you. They need to happen. Now, at each step, you can get stuck. But the good news is that I have solutions to help you get unstuck, and I'll show you the pitfalls of where people do get stuck in these three stages. So let's go for step one. Step one is to feel and untangle the mixed bag of emotions. You can't avoid the issue. You need to expose yourself to the feelings. Don't avoid them. Don't keep busy. Don't keep blocking them out with substances or something else. Don't avoid the memories or the feelings. You need to, as I mentioned earlier, go in it. And the problem that most people have is they don't know what they're feeling, because it's all mixed up. There's sadness, there's anger, there's anxiety, there's shame, there's guilt, and it all gets mixed up in a ball, and people can't process them all properly. You can't say, right, I'm going to release my unresolved emotional baggage, because you don't know exactly what you're letting go of. So it doesn't need to take ages, this step, and it doesn't need to be traumatic, but it's so important to identify your emotions, your feelings, hour by hour, day by day, because once you make them visible to deal with, you can process it. So for example, let's say, okay, I'm feeling really angry at the way that they ended the relationship. I'm feeling angry because they made me these promises. I'm feeling sad that I'm not gonna have these experiences with them again. I'm feeling shame, I'm feeling hurt, I'm feeling abandoned, I feel lost. You know, what is it that you're feeling? Gotta break it down one by one. In the breakthrough session I go through with people, I literally spend 2 hours breaking down every single emotion, whether it's regret, disappointment, humiliation, embarrassment, fear, all of them. And then we take some time out to really look at the feelings one by one. And then we also look at all the beliefs, because when a relationship ends, it doesn't just end with this emotional roller coaster. We also pick up beliefs about ourselves, about relationships, about why it ended, what it means, who you are in a relationship. And another thing that gets people stuck is they get stuck in the blame game. They get stuck in that self-pity. What did they do wrong? And this is not going to help you create a happier life, find someone new, feel good about yourself, thrive in your personal life, because you're focusing on what you don't want. When you're just focusing on all the negative things your partner said, done, then you're going to attract that to you. And it's really unhelpful. And also, being in self-pity, and goodness knows, we all do it at times, it's the worst place to be. Because when you feel like you're the victim, when you feel like, you know, terrible about yourself and sorry for yourself, then you don't have any power. But when you take responsibility and you say, right, and you dive into these thoughts, you challenge these beliefs, you challenge these thoughts, you feel these emotions, unpick them all, you can then release them one by one. So ask yourself, where does it hurt? What did the ending of the relationship make me feel? What hurts the most? And you need to take time to figure it out, because then we can find solutions. So for example, one guy I worked with, he felt that his relationship ended because he wasn't good enough in bed, and his ego was crushed by some hurtful words that she said. So we unpicked that, and then we looked at, is it really true? And if he wanted to enhance his sexual skills, what could he do for his future relationship? How could he empower himself? And for a lot of other people that I work with, it's that feeling of being betrayed, being abandoned, being left. And that's such a core wound, because we all are born with that fear of being abandoned. It's a primal fear. And it can often waken up times we felt neglected, unseen, unimportant in our early years of life, previous relationships. It can all just get mixed up. And so we need to unpick it so that you can explore your different feelings, know exactly what you're feeling, why you're feeling, and then we can plan a solution. So ask yourself, what hurts the most? When my relationship ended a long time ago now, I felt hurt. I felt I've fallen for a narcissist again. And I didn't see it. I'd gone into that rescue mode, and the relationship ended up being me doing all the giving and them doing all the taking. Them controlling and me following. I was so disappointed that my love story didn't work out as a happy ever after, especially since I've been working in this relationship field. And I'd only been working in this field a little bit by then, because it was way over 10 years ago now. And they say love is blind. And for me, to some extent, at the beginning, I really do feel that love was blind for me at the beginning. But luckily, I did see the red flags and I did listen to my gut. And I don't believe that narcissists are bad people. I don't think they realise, or he in particular realised, that he was so manipulative, or that he always got his own way, or he just did whatever suited him, that everything was about his needs and his wants and his problems and his anxieties. And I just felt, okay, I need to rescue, I need to help. And that can often happen with people that go through a lot of trauma as a child, like I did. We can end up confusing love with pity. So we tend to love people we can pity. And that was the case and dynamic in this relationship. So when the first breakup first happened, first of all, I felt utterly rejected and abandoned because I wasn't expecting them to just say, sure, yeah, bye. I was hoping that they might be like, Nicola, I want you, or you mean the world to me. I mean, they did say all these loving things. They love bombed me at the beginning. But when I said, I'm not sure this is working, I don't think that this is a very balanced, equal relationship, they just went, okay, bye. So I felt absolutely worthless. Now, I already had worthless feelings from my childhood, which needed to be addressed. So it just magnified all of that. And I felt shame. Shame that, my God, I'm so embarrassed that and humiliated that I'm a relationship specialist and I've picked a narcissist for a relationship. And this isn't the first time. This is a pattern in me. And again, it comes from that feeling of not being worthy. So thank goodness I found the breakthrough program that I now run for people, and I've run it for over 4,000 people now. And I had that done on me, and I was able to see my worth. I was able to see that I was picking people that mirrored my unworthiness. However, that was just one side of how the relationship affected me when it broke up. I also felt sad that love isn't enough sometimes. And I'm going to do a podcast on that, because sometimes loving each other, although I do question his love actually, isn't enough. And love can't conquer all. There needs to be compatibility, chemistry, growth. You know, there's so much more. So I definitely will do a podcast on that. So I felt sad. And I also felt worried about feeling lonely in the future. I felt worried about being alone on holidays, or being around couples on holidays, and everyone's in a couple and I'm by myself. But the worst feeling was that self-bashing. Why did I pick this person? Or how could I let myself fall in so deep? Or maybe I wasn't good enough for him. Maybe I should have tried harder, I should have done this. So this brings us to step two. In order to heal, you must, step two, stop the inner critic. Deeper, uglier feelings come into this step. Your self-doubts, your insecurities, people blame themselves. Whatever happened, it was my fault. It brings up your biggest insecurities, like I'm unwanted, I'm unlovable, I'm incompetent, I'm boring, I'm lazy, I'm too needy. Pick your personal poison here. What is it that you grab and beat yourself up with? And this is where most people get stuck. And I got stuck there. I was beating myself up about the way that I looked. Or maybe I'm looking too old. Or maybe I'm a bit overweight. Or maybe I'm not dressing right. Or maybe I should be more sexual. Whatever it is. And for me, it was a lot of self-bashing. And this then led me to feel anxious and depressed. Depressed as in not really believing that anyone will really love me. And confusion, just feeling a bit lost in my life, like, why am I not good at relationships? And this is where, you know, people compare themselves to others, whereas you cannot compare yourself to anyone. It's futile, it's pointless, because we're all so perfectly individual, unique, and every relationship is different. And just because someone's been married for 30 years doesn't mean they're happier than someone that's been married 3 times for 10 years. There isn't such a thing as being a success in relationships. Relationships are a journey, an exploration. They reveal things about yourself. They test you. They grow you. So just seeing it as an experience is really important. Relationships often bring up your weak points, especially when they end. Your Achilles heel, if you like. That's what gets affected. So for me, my unworthiness got affected. And my fear of being abandoned happened. So in this step, you're not avoiding the emotions, like in the first step, or getting bogged down by the mix of them. In this step, you can get stuck with the same familiar story you've heard before. what you believe is wrong with you. I'm ugly, I'm boring, I'm overweight, I'm lazy, I'm fill in the blank. And some people also beat themselves up for other traits. I'm a fool, I'm naive, I'm stupid, to have trusted, to have believed. And as I mentioned, one of my pains was that I'm not attractive enough. I grew up being bullied about being really thin and my hair being frizzy and ginger. And I also, my mum compared me to my sister and said that my sister was beautiful because she had blonde straight hair. So, you know, I had a lot of wounding about my looks and appearance. And it really affected me, you know, and it comes up again and again. And then I started to think, okay, maybe my relationship ended because I drank too much. And I'd just make myself feel worse and worse and worse. Or maybe it ended because I'm not spontaneous enough. Or I focus on work too much. Or this or that. And this is where you just feel worse and worse and worse. This is where you feel, God, am I ever going to be free from this pain? And how on earth do I fix myself? There's something wrong with me. Thankfully, being a counsellor and a coach, I could see it. I could recognise and get the help I needed. I got help and I felt better in such a short space of time. But sadly, many people don't. Many people also feel that it's a sign of weakness to get help, or they feel I don't want to go there, or they feel that they deserve to beat themselves up. And that's really sad. So if you feel like that, no one deserves to be beating themselves up, to feel unworthy, to feel less than. Find however you want to get help for yourself, just take some positive actions. So how do you know if you're stuck in this place? You feel vulnerable and terrible about yourself and the breakup. You feel like you've lost yourself. You can't focus. Your sleep has changed. Your appetite has changed. Some people can't eat. Some people eat too much. You feel low. You feel depressed. You feel anxious about the future. Many people say to me that they feel broken, demotivated, or they just have got attached to something to help them avoid what they're feeling, like oversleeping, self-harm, substance abuse, indulging in other behaviours to excessive behaviours. And the key to getting unstuck here is to help you see your value. This is what I do in the Breakthrough Programme. Help you to see that you are lovable, that you are special, that you don't need a partner to feel sexy, attractive, good about yourself, interesting, wanted, seen. Often when people aren't able to get over someone, it's because they at their core don't feel good enough. And being with that partner, they felt good. They felt worthy. They felt valued. And then when that person goes, all of those lovely feelings that they had about themselves vanish because they falsely believe that their partner gave them that, but they didn't. They may have shone a light on it. They may have showed the mirror and saw the beauty and the wonderful things in you. However, your worthiness is within you. You can feel worthy, you can feel special, you can feel valued, you can feel loved being single. It comes from within. It's within you to feel all of those good feelings. However, most people go through rejection, neglect, feeling unimportant, unseen, or not allowed to be their true selves. So they have to hide some of themselves. They're not their authentic self in their childhood, in their teenage years or adult relationships. And this creates that sense of, I must not be good enough because I can't be myself. I need to be what other people want me to be. Or I can only feel special if I've got proof that someone married me or proof that someone's in a relationship with me and loves me and wants me. However, that's rubbish. You can feel great in yourself with or without a relationship. Now, some people can skip right through step two. Many others can't. This is particularly the case with people who have been in an abusive or neglectful relationship at some point in their life. They seem unable to stop the cycle of negative thoughts, heavy emotions. And in my Breakthrough Programme, I help people to clear this out. Get rid of those self-depreciating thoughts, doubts, negative beliefs about themselves, their relationship future, their ability to be happy alone, or their belief that they won't find love again, that they won't be wanted. And I help them stop blaming themselves and to see the great qualities that they have and great qualities that they have in themselves and can bring to a relationship. By focusing on all the good, they're far more likely, and this does happen, they attract more love into their life, more love from friends, from those that they interact with in their work, from their family and then a new partner. However, sometimes it can be difficult to break these stuck beliefs. And if you're interested in finding out more about the key steps to unlocking the trauma, the hurt, the pain, the stuck thoughts, then do check out my breakthrough video. It's got steps where I show you exactly what is needed. So whether you work with me or with someone else, it will show you the unique way you can really free yourself. Because breaking free from this self-critic, it's kind of like you've been bent out of shape. And with the right approach, we can help put you into that perfect, imperfect, because we're all imperfect, way of being you, being authentically you, and help you to see what you need and what you're worth, even if you don't feel that you're entitled to it. We want you to feel good about yourself, appreciate your uniqueness. And this is where it gets exciting. It's about listing all the things that you want in a relationship and listing all the things that you can bring to a relationship. It lifts your self-esteem, it gives you confidence about your future, and it also helps you to attract someone on that same vibrational level. So it's not what you don't want. For example, you could write a list saying, I need to feel like I'm a priority. I need to feel that someone has my back. I want to have someone I can rely on to emotionally support me. Having been in relationships where I've been the rescuer, for me, that support is really important. So ask yourself, what are all the wonderful qualities I can bring into a relationship? And what are all of the qualities I want in a partner? Healthy lifestyle, healthy balanced emotions, emotionally available, makes time for me, appreciates me, whatever it is that you want. And of course, you can still go through all of these steps if you ended the relationship yourself. Sometimes it can be harder because then you've got the pressure of, well, I chose this. So let's move on now to step three, okay? So step three is emotional empowerment. Feeling and acknowledging the anger and grief in a healthy way, in an assertive way that empowers you. So this is where we use our emotions to help us. So healthy anger is assertive anger. It's positive. It's about asserting your worth in a positive way. And this comes into what I was mentioning earlier, okay? So you have this belief, okay? And this is what I really help to install in people when I work with them. I deserve to be noticed. I deserve to have mutual support and collaboration. I deserve to be shown appreciation in actions, not only words. I deserve to be with someone who accepts responsibility for their behavior. This powerful energy is very important. Feel the feelings in a positive way. Because in the breakthrough process, when we clear out the negative beliefs, we get the strategy for what you want in your future. And you can use your emotions to help you with that assertive healthiness. So it's not, I'm angry at them and I'm blaming them and this is what they did and I don't want this or I'm sad, they said this, they said that. Get out of that state. It's not going to help you or your future. If the person misses someone, what can happen is they go back and forth. They're like, I miss them, I'm angry at them. I miss them, I'm angry at them. I want to feel how I felt in the relationship, but often not how they felt at the end of the relationship. And this is where people try and recreate the relationship again and again. And they hope that relationship will be how it was when it was magical at the beginning, often. But we evolve, we change, and we realise that the person we love isn't the person that's right for us now. That can happen. There needs to be that compatibility, that chemistry, that consistency in a person. And that can be really difficult when you're in a relationship with someone like I was many years ago that was a narcissist, because they'll give you just amount of love to keep you there. And then when they think you're happy, they will pull back. There was no consistency in the love. But when they feel like, okay, you're feeling hurt, you're distant, you're not there for them, then they're going to love bomb you. And so they keep you in this kind of dance. However, real love is consistent. It doesn't change. It's not hot and cold. It's consistent. And having been stuck at step two, feeling depressed, I ended up having an illness. I ended up having a thyroid issue. I had hypothyroidism. And often the throat and the thyroid, anything sort of with the throat in that area, those indicate not expressing yourself, not expressing your emotions or feelings or speaking your truth. And from doing counselling and the breakthrough program for myself, I was able to speak my truth. I was able to get into assertive anger, out of the self-blame, out of all the negative thoughts that I thought about myself. I came through feeling I deserve to be loved. I deserve to feel good. I deserve a man that matches my energy. I deserve all of these wonderful things. And so now let's talk about grief, okay? Grieving the loss of the person is important. And it doesn't need to take forever, but you're going to have to feel it and go through it. You can't start afresh if you haven't let go. Even if you're the one to end the relationship, there is still going to be grief and loss. You're still going to be sad, hurt, disappointed. Because when you started the relationship, you were really hopeful. Maybe you thought, they're the one. They're my soulmate. They're my future. And then when it doesn't work out, it's heartbreaking for you also. And sometimes the grieving process isn't necessarily about the person, but it could be losing their family. It could be the loss of the dreams, hopes, and expectations you had about the future that will never materialize. Like, I worked with this lady the other day, and she was really sad because they planned to have children together. And now those children that they planned will never be born. Another couple, they planned to have a business together. And then that retirement dream that they hoped for has been taken away. So you need to grieve these. And you can't, just like in step one, grieve a whole mixed bag of emotions. You need to break it down. What are you grieving? And when you list it, you can then accept it. And you can then create solutions to it. Okay, well, I'm really sad that I'm not going to have children with this man. However, or with this woman, I'm going to find someone that wants and has the same values and goals and dreams as me. Or it could be, I really wanted to do that business with them, I'm going to do it myself. Or I miss the humour and laughter we had, and I'm going to make sure I have humour and laughter with my friends. So unless you acknowledge all the grief and break it down, you might find that you get stuck. And I'd hate for you to get stuck. So let's list out all your grief, list out all the losses that you feel, that you'll think about, and then see if there are any solutions. See what you can learn from your relationship. See what lessons you can gain. And then this can also help you shape your future. So this is about healthy, assertive anger. I deserve to be loved and seen. I deserve to be inspired and appreciated, whatever it is for you. So when you recognize the losses, you then have to finish the feeling. You see, healthy emotions, they have this curve. You feel it. You can't just then block it, stop it. You need to let the emotion finish, which is why it does take, for some people, some weeks to really feel the grief, feel the anger, feel the loss, feel the sadness. Get out of self-bashing. This last step is really important, and we often do this step without even thinking about it. However, like I mentioned, people can get stuck. A lady I recently helped who was in the process of divorce had such low self-esteem. She felt unlovable, unworthy, and depressed from being in a relationship with someone who didn't pay her much attention. He was out drinking every night, they had no time together, no intimacy, no conversation, and thus, no connection. It triggered her feeling of being neglected as a child, where her physical needs were met. She had plenty of toys, plenty of food, luxury holidays, but no emotional connection with her parents or her sister. They weren't an affectionate family. They would criticize her in order to get her to achieve more. They felt the best way to parent and to treat her would be to tell her to do better, to keep trying. They didn't give her any praise. So she felt lonely, and she was so scared of feeling lonely again. Most of her childhood, she remembers being sad, feeling that no one really wants to be with her, and she just couldn't cope at the thought of having to find someone new. Of going through the process of being single, of going through the process of putting energy into trying finding someone, and just so scared that she would get really depressed on her own. The relationship, though, that she was in had caused her so many health problems. The stress from being with a man that didn't give her much attention. She had a highly critical mother-in-law. She wasn't valued by her partner, but she carried on in that relationship for years. She was so far from being assertive and seeing her worth. And she was petrified that no one would ever want her. She was stuck in the grief, the unworthiness, and the hurt. And it was all mixed up. She couldn't process it. She was crying every day when she saw me. Crying every single day. And her mother and her sister didn't know what to do because they didn't have those emotional skills to help her. They just told her to stop crying and get a divorce. They couldn't understand how much pain she was really in. She ended up going to a therapist where she lived, and that made her feel even worse because that therapist's style was showing empathy with no solutions. So she felt that the therapist felt really sorry for her and that her problems were really, really bad. And she didn't get any encouragement that she would be loved. The lady empathized and just listened. So she left there thinking, see, I'm not going to be loved. And when we did the breakthrough program, the first session, her daily crying stopped. She started to shift to assertive, healthy anger. She started to realize that she shouldn't have to put up with the bullying and the criticism of her in-laws. She realized that she didn't need to be with someone who wasn't sexually active with her or showed any interest with her, that she didn't need to be with someone who was absent every night drinking. She didn't need to go through this anymore, and that she could enjoy life by herself without a man with lots of good friends. And she was such a lovable person, such a kind, sweet, caring, empathetic person. She had loads of really good close friends, so thank goodness she kept in touch with all of her friends and they were all there for her. So if you're doing therapy and it is making you feel worse, stop, find a different therapist. Having the right therapist is so important. Sometimes you'll get lucky on the first time and you'll be like, great, they get me, I get them, we click, I resonate with them. And other times you may feel that I don't think they get me, understand me, our communication styles are different, I need a bit more direction, or they're too direct, and just keep changing until you find the right fit for you. Now, if you're anxious and depressed, therapy should help you to not feel anxious or depressed. But when it comes to unresolved business, unresolved emotions, emotional baggage, there are four possible outcomes, okay? So outcome number one, you forgive and reconcile, and that's a positive outcome. Two, you reconcile and you don't forgive. You don't get over what they've done to you. You don't get over the past. Now that is a recipe for disaster because there is so much resentment there and the partners keep on punishing each other, keep on getting annoyed and irritated over small things, keep on bickering or keep on having the same problems again and again. Distance, closeness, and therefore the relationship isn't steady, isn't consistent, and isn't loving. So if you can't forgive, but you want to forgive, that's different. Therapy can help you to begin to forgive. And forgiveness is a process. It's not one thing you just decide and it's gone. It's a process. However, if you reconcile and you don't forgive, you're probably both not going to be happy in that relationship. Option three, possible outcome, is you forgive them, but you don't forget. You let go and you move on. So you decide, okay, this relationship isn't right for me. I'm not going to hold ill feelings towards them. Thank the relationship for the lessons that it gave you. Learn from it, grow from it, move forward. And the fourth possible outcome is that you don't forgive and you don't forget and you hold them accountable. Now, this is a shift in power where you view the person in a different light. They're not right for me, they're not good for me. And this isn't a bad outcome, especially in an abusive relationship. Okay, if you were in an abusive relationship, not forgiving and not forgetting and holding them accountable, that could be quite empowering. However, holding on to negative emotions towards someone isn't very healthy for the body. If you're still carrying that bitterness, that energy, that's going to affect you. So I highly recommend that if you're in this phase where you're like, oh, don't forgive them and I'm not going to forget and I'm going to hold them accountable and I'm going to see that they're wrong and they're bad. Okay, that can be temporary. I wouldn't recommend staying there. I'd recommend seeing what you've learned from the relationship, because we've got so many lessons. And even if that person wasn't right for you, they can show you where you need your growth. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. This is inspired by Antonio Pasqualeone, who's a clinical psychologist and researcher on psychotherapy for the University of Windsor. And if you are in a relationship right now and you're not sure whether to end it or not, but you're not really feeling connected or your communication isn't going very well, then I highly recommend you check out my Relationship Reconnect Toolkit. It's a gift that I've created for all of you wonderful listeners to help you have some tools to have more fun together, to reconnect, to start interesting and different conversations, 50 ways to break awkward silences, ways to reconnect without using any words, as well as understanding your emotions more deeply, becoming more emotionally intelligent, more emotionally aware, and how to pause a conversation so it doesn't escalate, plus a whole lot more. So it's available now. It is going to be limited to a certain amount of participants so that I can manage any responses and questions for the program. So don't miss out. Now is the time to really look at how to really reconnect with your partner. And if you're not in a relationship right now because it has ended, you may still want to get the toolkit to learn for your future and for new relationships. Also, if you'd like to find out more about my breakthrough program, I am going to be having a link along with the show notes. There's an insightful video you can watch which explains more about the steps. Whether you work with me or with someone else, knowing the steps to heal, to feel amazing again, to get back on track, is the best gift you can give yourself. From my heart to yours, wishing you a fantastic day ahead. Take care of yourself and each other.
Dear listeners, today I celebrate you. You are among the few who actively nurture their love journey. It's an act of courage, an act of self-love. And if today's episode resonated with you, be a beacon for others, subscribe, rate, and review. Let's spread this love and wisdom far and wide. Craving more? Discover the free resources at nicolabeer.com. You can also find the links to helpful gifts in the show notes. Do also join our Relationship and Wellness Facebook group. It's a haven where we uplift, support, and journey together towards richer, deeper love stories. Remember, you have the power to craft the love story you deserve. Thank you for being with me today. And until next time, keep shining and loving with all your heart.